talking about uncertainty, there are two elements to that. There's uncertainty about what the outcome would be, what the final model would be, and also there's a time uncertainty in terms of when this project will be concluded. When you take into consideration the cycle of a discussion paper turning to a final standard. So given the uncertainty and the limited information that we also had around different parameters, there's comfort towards a disclosure-only focused interim solution. In our discussions also, there was acknowledgement of some of the constraints that have been, or rather considerations that have been pinpointed in the various papers that were circulated. So considerations around the needs of first-time adopters versus existing adopters of IFRS. But that said, we still felt that we needed to know more about what the aggregate picture would be. We recognize the need to minimize disruption for whoever adopts IFRS and having to subsequently update potentially after making an interim solution. That would be disruptive potentially, but we did not feel we knew enough at this stage to see the extent to which these considerations could then feed into the different grandfathering options that were presented. So we recognize that particular factor, it's important, but again, more information would be needed before there's a clear sense as to what would then be optimal. That said, we also felt there was need for further identification and articulation of user needs. And in this regard, an acknowledgement was made that what has been articulated thus far in different jurisdictions could be shaped by a home bias or a familiarity bias, and that needs to be taken further in terms of identifying what's optimal. The other point that would be worth putting on the table would be that it's important when getting to this discussion paper stage to have alignment with the conceptual framework. So our group was largely supportive of the idea of this being these two projects being closely aligned. But that said, one would also still highlight the fact that time frame would be important, and it was encouraging to hear that the conceptual framework is on a three-year time frame target, and hopefully this will also be reflected with this particular project. We also felt that it's important that there be continuity from work that had previously been done. So you had an exposure draft in 2010. There would be need for there to be a seamless handover of your findings from the feedback you got from various stakeholders. So there shouldn't be a total reset in terms of articulating the needs of different stakeholders. So that would be important. Now, it's on that basis that we came to the conclusion that in the interim, it's important still to ensure that users have transparent information, and focusing on the disclosures would meet that particular need in the interim before you come up with a final standard. Those were my main takeaways, but I would invite the rest of the members of my group to chime in case I've left out any other salient points that were made.
Any other members of the group want to comment? Vincent, if I could ask a question. I think you said the group felt you didn't know enough to make a decision. Was that relative to the full standard setting project, or specifically the question of whether or not an interim solution was?
I think it was in terms of, for example, the prominence that would be given towards first-time adopters, the needs of particular first-time adopters. If you take a macro view of the requirements across IFRS constituencies, how important a factor is this? So we didn't really have a sense of that, and we worried if undue prominence was being given, say, to the needs of a particular first-time adopter relative to the big picture. But it was hard to make a meaningful judgment at this juncture, and we felt the discussion paper could potentially inform this as well.
Thanks, that's helpful. Any other comments or questions? If not, let's move on to group two.
I think that's us. Let me start by saying that our group was mixed. We have people who support an interim standard, and we have people on the group who do not support an interim standard. Those in favor of an interim standard pointed out that without an interim standard, there could be a risk, number one, that the performance of regulated entities cannot be properly assessed, and thus the insight into their performance cannot be assessed without getting information on the impact of regulation, and thus the usefulness of the statements will be significantly impaired. Other points were brought up that countries may hesitate to adopt IFRS, those in process of adopting, and companies who are subject to voluntary IFRS application may not adopt. Not so surprisingly, those against an interim standard did not buy into these arguments. They rather emphasized that an interim standard would unavoidably be a mess, that there is a risk of a Pandora's box, that grandfathering here could be the start of further grandfathering in similar cases. I get to that again in a minute. That there is lacking clarity regarding the metrics subject to regulation, which may disallow a clear cut scope for the interim standard, and that there's a risk for the standing of the ISB while fighting hard against carve-outs in other countries and regions. The ISB would create a carve-out itself. It was also pointed to Europe and recently Brazil, who adopted IFRS despite a requirement to eliminate regulatory assets and liabilities from their balance sheet. We looked a bit deeper into a broader grandfathering, and I asked the question whether there would be support for a general notion to whenever a country is adopting IFRS, that they would get a grandfathering for all topics that the ISB is working on at the time they are in the process of adopting. Nobody supported this notion. And those in favor of an interim standard here pointed out that they think it is a very specific case because of the specifics of the economics of regulated entities. That would make it necessary to go for such a step here, although they would not support it in other instances. Finally, we quickly looked into the alternatives of an interim standard. We agreed that the alternative with only disclosure is somehow very different to the others because it's not really changing IFRS, but rather adding something to it. So the recognition measurement would stay the same. It would only be a disclosure piece. And some people said, if at all, that should be done, but doubted that it would make sense because they would expect companies to do these disclosures on a voluntary basis. Even those supporting the standards said it should be done with some isolation. So while we agreed there may not be one line on the balance sheet in P&L, at least that people can see both the performance with and without the impact of regulated entities. Now, I would hand it to the rest of the group to add whatever I forgot, misphrased, or overemphasized. Thank you.
Any members of the group care to add to Christoph's comments? I think you did a very nice job of capturing the pros and cons of a divided conversation. All right, then let's turn to group number three.
I think it's our group. We had quite an interesting discussion around it, and I guess starting off, one of the key things was to look at the conceptual view. What do we think around the whole idea of an interim standard? One of the first concerns that was raised is this concept of an interim standard, and I guess a lot of comments were made around things like insurance, which were interim and have become pretty final over the last couple of years, and the message that's given to the market, where is something going to be interim, and therefore that means we're looking at another 5 years before standard, is it 3 years, and so just to manage that perception. On the other side of it, I think the group felt that we had to do something around this, that this is an area where we could end up with people not adopting or divergence from IFRS. One of the cases in point given was Paul shared with us the experience in Canada, where rate-regulated industries are currently not required to apply IFRS, and they've been given the option to use US GAAP as an alternative, which means in a country which is driving towards IFRS, we've already got, for want of a better word, a carve-out or exemption for an industry where that's needed. As much as the group accepted this wasn't something impacting a huge number of companies, generally the companies were quite high profile where this impacted, so we did feel that that was needed. So at a minimum, we did feel that something had to be done. The starting point we did feel was that we kind of looked at the spectrum and said, well, we can either just go purely for an interim standard or go for final standard. We didn't really feel there was much gray area in between. And I think the reason we didn't feel there was much gray area is because once you get into the recognition and measurement principles, well, you're dealing with the standard. So we felt that you either had to do something interim or had to go for the full standard. As I mentioned up front, we feel that this was too important a topic to wait for the final standard. So the proposal of our group was definitely to do an interim standard, but then continue to do that final standard. As far as the choices on the interim standard goes, we didn't support a disclosure-only standard for a number of reasons. One, didn't really feel that was going to help us because it's just more disclosure. We also commented that this year alone, we've already seen, I think it's 3, maybe 4 papers on reducing disclosure in IFRS. Another disclosure paper may not have got us there. We felt that the minimum you'd probably have to go is to some level of grandfathering, where we're allowing the people to go apply currently what they're doing, but obviously probably more in the 2C area, where we felt a degree of grandfathering would get us to where we needed to be. We did accept that obviously the grandfathering clause did end up with not really having full comparability, but we felt that was a better solution in the short term than having nothing for rate-regulated industries in the IFRS body of literature. As far as timing went, as I mentioned, the feeling was that this is very urgent, so we should look to try and get it out in the short term. Comments were made that maybe the ISB could get it out before Christmas this year, but unlikely, so probably within a year thereof. Well, you haven't got much else. So clearly, yeah, within a year, we thought to hopefully get the interim standard out. The one warning we did have, though, is that we didn't want to compromise the timetable on the final standard. So if there is a final standard, we didn't want all the resources to be withdrawn on that just to get the interim one out. We really need to try and make sure that the project continues on the final one. I guess the other thing just to point out was we also felt, much like the other groups, that you need to make sure we are addressing the needs of people in that industry. A lot of work has been done, as was pointed out. So the feedback from the previous papers that have been out, see what people are saying there. It was also brought to our attention that apparently India has developed a discussion paper or proposed standard on this. That could be very useful to have a look at. And obviously just see if any of the industry groups have got any comments. So yeah, so overall the conclusion from our group, we do believe an interim standard is very much needed at the moment, but not too detailed. Don't get into the major recognition and measurement issues. Rather just deal with something in the degree of grandfathering. I'll leave it to the group to bring up any other comments.
Thanks, Bruce. Any members of the group want to add comments? If not, we'll turn to Thomas in Group 4.
Thank you. To sum it up, I would say the basic question was, do we want to have an interim solution or not? We didn't enter so much into the question what kind of alternatives we should take, if any. And at the end, we had a vote, but I don't tell the vote before I try to summarize what we discussed. The reasons against an interim solution, I think most of them were already mentioned. Most of the participants said we want clear IFRS application by all jurisdictions using IFRS, and there shouldn't be any carve-out. It wasn't mentioned carve-out, but there shouldn't be any kind of additional sets. Second question was, why is this so different from IFRS 6 situation? And there was the basic line was, well, we have moved forward. This was 10 years ago, and now we are living in a different IFRS world. The third argument against an interim solution was we would prolong inconsistencies for some time without knowing what is the sunset of such inconsistency. And the last thing would be that any solution would most likely preempt the final decision of the ISB in which direction they want to move. The arguments in favor of an interim solution, first thing was we will get at the end, we don't change the level playing field because the level playing field at the moment is already quite divergent in this area, so there wouldn't be any problem for that. we want to bring as many jurisdictions as possible into the IFRS world, even if we have some kind of transformation guidance, which opens it up for other jurisdictions. And at the end, in favor of such a solution, some argued that this is more a political question to find as many jurisdictions as possible to join the IFRS world. Now, the result of the discussion we had and the vote was 7-3 against an interim solution, so it was a pretty clear picture at the end of the discussion. Nevertheless, we tried to discuss also the alternative interim measures which were in the paper. Two of the participants supporting an interim solution said they would opt for a full-fledged standard, however, only for the cost-service model, as in the ED 2009, and only one favored a solution in favor of the IFRS 6 grandfathering solution, which was in the paper laid out. Last point, we discussed what are there any alternative solutions for the problem. For example, would it make sense to bring the issue to IFRIC again? There was a general understanding that this project would be too big for IFRIC and would take away the resources which we need for the discussion paper. So that is in a nutshell, I think, what we discussed, but all the participants in the group are free to correct me or to add anything.
Thank you, Thomas. Any members of the group want to comment? All right, then I'll open it up more generally. Any other reactions that members have in light of the reports back? With you, Hans, any?
Well, so what is your advice? It seems tilting towards not doing an interim solution.
Yeah, I heard one group supporting the notion of an interim solution.
Undivided.
One saying divide it. Vincent, I'm not quite sure where your group landed.
Disclosure only, I think.
A disclosure only option, and one group clearly against. Which, I guess, in some respects, is not surprising given the nature of the topic and the different circumstances, the different parts of the world face.
To a certain extent, it is surprising because an interim solution would have been an easy way out, politically easy way out. And nevertheless, there seem to be a lot of people who don't think it's a good idea.
One point I heard, I think all the groups allude to, is that of timing, and it certainly came out in our discussion group, which was no one had any appetite for doing something short-term if it ran the risk of delaying, complicating completion of the full project. Against that is this notion of, well, we have the conceptual framework project, and you will be handsomely rewarded should it be completed within 3 years. But there is a bit of a worry that if the two get tangled together, and if the timeline on the larger project lengthens, then the case for the interim solution becomes stronger. And I think that's the judgment call that you and your fellow board members face is
another.
If there is to be an interim solution, I sense it had to be done very quickly. And I think all the groups would say if there was any risk that doing that was going to impede progress on the larger solution, there wouldn't be much appetite for it. So beyond that, even on disclosure, I think there were mixed views as to whether it would
And what also is complicating the whole affair is that we genuinely do not know what the outcome of this whole exercise will be.
We genuinely don't know.
whether it will result in a standard or not is. I think the board will be really struggling with this.
Beyond that, I don't. There's the obvious consequence that if this question mark hangs over us for a prolonged period, it could be a significant consideration in the migration paths as countries position themselves to...
Not a suggestion, but that I heard was if we succeed in... I suppose the DP could have come up with an answer. I mean, if the DP results in a very clear no, then it's pretty clear.
Yeah, conversation's over.
If it's a very clear yes, then we also know where we're going. Another suggestion that I heard is if it is clear that this is under time pressure and we try to do it as quickly as possible for a country like Canada, it might be worthwhile to extend its temporary exception that they have now. Mm. But it, yeah, I find it. I find this a remarkable outcome.
Judith?
Paul, I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned that was quite persuasive in our group was the experience of Brazil, which is a very recent experience of adoption, as opposed to, say, Europe and Australia, where they faced similar issues to people that are just adopting now in the last couple of years, and dealt with it in an IFRS framework with a regulatory comment from their regulator. And it seems unfortunate if one country doesn't have its issues debated at the ISB. We did ask, was the Brazil problems with rate-regulated industries and adopting IFRS debated at the ISB? And we were told it was not. And yet when another country faces a similar issue in a very similar sort of time frame, it gets a different sort of outcome. And I think that's something for the ISB to think about very carefully.
There's no sense prolonging it. you have a range of views, but I would say the majority expressing misgivings about an interim solution. As you say, somewhat surprising.
We'll bring it to the board.
And I guess my parting observation would be approaching it from a disclosure-only point of view may be a lot more difficult than you might think at first blush. It sounds like something that would be relatively easy to do. I think an easy approach to disclosure would fall very unevenly and would impose additional disclosures on some who have information and on a great many others who could almost be as bad to generate the information required for the disclosure as it would be to follow a particular account. And I don't know how you could do it without prescribing the starting point.
And then we would be losing a lot of time on a solution that would make nobody happy.
And I think, as others said, the marketplace investors who care probably get that information or reasonable proxies for that type of information anyway, so you'd be getting very little payback for, again, what might divert energy from the larger project. So okay. Nothing is ever forever, so the sense that if, for whatever reason, the project wasn't playing out as quickly as the board had thought, there might be the opportunity to rethink this question of an interim solution. All right, well, thank you very much to the discussion leaders. You never know until you have the discussion as to what the views would be, but I think that's helpful. And we'll try and capture those main points and share them with members and with the board for their benefit. Jane, was there anything that you wanted to add at this juncture? No,
I just wanted to thank everybody. We've obviously been struggling with a recommendation to the board in terms of how to take this project forward, and it seems that a lot of our thoughts